Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Kuf Zayin. We're on Kuf Avam and Beis. We're about halfway down the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Our discussion is going to continue today regarding Kiddush and Avdallah. The Gemara over here in the 10th parak of Pesachim has taken a magnificent break from discussing Pesachim. It wasn't much of a break. We really didn't start. We learned the Mishnah together all the way back on Sadi Testament Beis. But after that, our discussion has revolved around Kiddush and Avdallah. So basically since Daf Kuf, through what is today's Daf Kuf Zayin, so a week discussing aspects of Kiddush and Havdalah. Obviously it comes up because the first of the Dal Kosis is Kiddush, and so it's understandably inserted over here into the 10th Perek of Pesachim. Would make a little bit more sense that we're included in Masechta Shabbos, but okay. It's just simply how Shas operates at times in which we're treated over here to a Shabbos Sugya, even though we're right now towards the end of Masechta Pesachim. Yesterday's discussion talked about the basics. What's the Makor? How do I know that Kiddush is made? And how do I know that Kiddush is made Alakos? What's the Iker Kiddush? What's the secondary Kiddush? The Iker Kiddush, of course, is the Friday night Kiddush. The secondary Kiddush is the one that we say Shabbos morning. The Gemara described in yesterday's daf as Kiddusha Rabba. What if you forget to make Kiddush in the morning? So then you can make Kiddush on, sorry. What if you forget to make Kiddush on Friday night? So you make Kiddush on Shabbos morning. You make it up by saying the standard Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Or all the way till the end of Shabbos. Whenever time you remember. What if you forget to make Havdalah? So you have makeup for Havdalah. Okay. We are continuing now in the Gemara Kuf Vavam and Beis. We're going to come back to discussing, making up Havdalah. That comes up a little bit later on. Anyway, picking up where we left off yesterday, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. We are 7-8 lines from the top of the Amud. It's a short Amud. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Tam Eino Mekadesh. So let's say, Friday night, you come home from shul and you forgot Kiddush. It's a hard thing to forget, I know, especially if you've been saying Kiddush for so many years. It's slightly unimaginable that you would forget to make Kiddush, but whatever. You didn't make Kiddush, you forgot to make Kiddush. So now, and not only that, but you started eating. You started your seuda without Kiddush. Okay. I'd say it happens. I'd say it's really rare. But, okay, it happened. So Tamin and Makadish. So the halacha says, according to Rav, is that once you ate without making Kiddush, so that's it. You lost your opportunity to make Kiddush. You have forfeited your opportunity to make Kiddush. What does that mean? So if you look at the Rashbam over here, he writes, Tam, Imachal, let's say you ate before making Kiddush, Lo Yikadosh Kol Alayla, so for the remainder of that evening, you are banned from making Kiddush. Ella, Lamacha, Kodem Suda, the Rashbam writes that tomorrow, you wake up tomorrow morning, okay, then you'll get a second opportunity. But it's almost like a kenas, it's almost like a penalty that was imposed by the Chachamim, because you ate without having made Kiddush. So the Chachamim penalized that individual, and that individual now has forfeited the opportunity to make Kiddush for the balance of the evening. And presumably, of course, you can't eat for the remainder of the evening. Okay, so that's Tam Eino Mekadesh. That's Allah according to Rav. Ba'minei Rav Chana Bar Chinan Rav Huna Tam Mahu Shi'avdil. Okay, so let's ask the next question. So we know that you're not allowed to eat before Avdallah. That was part of yesterday's discussion. So let's say you eat before Avdallah. Shabbos is over, and you start eating without having made Avdallah. So is it going to be the same ban that's imposed on the individual? Amrle ani omer tam avdil. So Rav says, so I'll tell you what, it's a machlokas. I'm sorry, probably the speaker over here is Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says that I'm of the position that tam avdil, meaning I'm making a distinction between Kiddush and Avdallah. By Kiddush, if you ate before Kiddush, that's it. So you're going to be penalized. You're not going to be able to make Kiddush until tomorrow morning. But as far as I'm concerned, says Rav Huna, so I'm of the position that Avdallah is different. If you started eating, having forgotten to say Havdalah, you could still say Havdalah that Motzei Shabbos. Rav Asi Amar Tamin Amavdil. But I also happen to know that Rav Asi argues with me. Rav Asi disagrees. He says that if you eat, before having made Havdalah, you can make Havdalah for the remainder of the evening, and presumably, your next opportunity to make Havdalah will be tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Ikla Lebe Rav Asi. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba goes to the house of Rav Asi Ishtale. Now he forgets Vatam eating. And he starts eating. Okay, that sounds a little bit strange. We're going to come back to the fact that we're talking about an Amora who just simply forgot about Havdalah. Come back to that in just a moment. So Vatam eating, Havale Kasava Avdil. So, and so a cup was brought to him and he made Havdalah. Okay, so he obviously subscribes to the Sheet of Rav Huna that despite the fact that you started eating before Havdalah, you could still make Havdalah. You haven't forfeited your opportunity to make Havdalah that night. So Amar le Devasayu, so his wife says to him, Va'amar lo avid hachi. Now, so, and this is the wife of Ravasi. And the wife of Ravasi says to Ravasi, you know, I remember you having forgotten that you ate making Havdalah, and you started eating before Havdalah, and that's not what you did, meaning you forfeited your opportunity to make Havdalah, and you wouldn't make Havdalah until the next morning. So I don't understand. He's not following you like you. Amalei shafkei kerabbi sfirlei. So he explains to his wife, leave him alone. He's following his rebbeim. In other words, not everyone agrees with me on this issue. He's following like his rebbeim. So you can let him be. Okay, this idea that we're now talking not about one, but two Amoraim who have forgotten to make Havdalah and have started eating before having made Havdalah. Okay, you and I, okay, but we're talking about Amoraim. Tosos is bothered by this question. Second to last, Tosos, on the Amri, Shtalev, Itam, Idi, Umashe, Makshim, Hashta, Behemtim, Shot, Tzadikim, and Akash, Baruch, Mevi, Takala. So Tosos of yours bothered. We know that when you're dealing with the Tzadik, so they're afforded divine protection, from violating a veir, specifically that of treifus, right? The animal of a tzaddik is not going to eat treif. This is based on a gemara elsewhere. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu for sure is going to be Megan is going to protect the tzaddikim themselves that they're not going to eat treif. So over here, if we're talking about tzaddikim being afforded this divine protection, so it's bizarre. It's really strange that we're talking now about these gaonim, these amarayim, who are eating before Havdalah, and which is an issue. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So Yesh Lamar, so Tosa says over here, Da'acha, Sheha Michael Mutter, Ella Sheha Shasura, Ain Shach Laksha, Sevamakam Achim Mefurash. So Tosa suggests over here, a really interesting distinction, and that is over here, the food's kosher, nothing wrong with the food, just happens to be wrong time to eat that food, but the food itself is kosher. Under those circumstances, that's not what is protected by this extra divine protection. What's afforded, this extra protection that's given to a tzaddik, is that they're not going to eat treif, mama's treif. But over here, the food's fine, it just happens to be wrong time. That's Tosa's suggestion. Tosa elaborates on this point elsewhere. Anyway, we go back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, now third to last line, on Kufav Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Shmuel Tamino, Mekadosh Tamino Mavdo. So Rav Yosef quotes B'Shem Shmuel, that both are true for Kiddush and Havdalah. If you started eating before having made either Kiddush or Havdalah, that's it. You forfeit your opportunity to say Kiddush and Havdalah. And again, let's say it over like the Rashbam. And that means now that your next opportunity to make Kiddush or Havdalah will be the next morning. For Kiddush, that'll be Shabbos morning. For Havdalah, that'll be the next morning, Sunday morning. Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Now the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. So both of these are said over in the name of Shmuel. And obviously, either Shmuel changes mind, and the students are representing his various viewpoints over his life, or what you could say, you could say this when both Amoraim are quoting one Amora, you could say is that one of them got it wrong. But right, normally we do allow Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim, but that's when there's a machlokas. Over here, when we're clearly getting different positions of the same Amora, so it is a tenable position to say that one of them got it wrong. Anyway, Rabbi Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Tam Mikadosh v'Tam Avdil. So Rav Nachman quotes B'Shem Shmuel, and Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel. I venture Rav Yosef also was a Talmud of Shmuel, but we know that Rav Nachman was really a Talmud Muvak of Shmuel. Anyway, he quotes B'Shem Shmuel that if you ate prior to Kiddush or if you ate prior to Havdalah, you have not forfeited your opportunity to say Kiddush or Havdalah. You may say Kiddush and Havdalah even that evening. Amar Rav Hilchasa Tam Mikadosh Tam Avdil. And so Rav, now as we turn to the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, so Rav Paskins, and he says that the halacha is that you have not forfeited your opportunity to say neither Kiddush nor Havdalah if you were to eat before Kiddush or Havdalah. So that's the Gemara Paskin. You can see Tosfos on the top of the Amud, the Chain halacha, that's the halacha. Umishlo Kiddush Barev Shabbos Mikash V'Halech Ola Yom Kulam. Ad Motzei Shabbos, and as long as we're giving Piskei halacha, so the Gemara says, let's go back to yesterday's daf. So yesterday's daf, you forgot Friday night Kiddush. You just forgot it altogether. So make up time until the end of Shabbos. So until the end of Shabbos, so you'll make Kiddush as long as you remembered before Shabbos is over. After Shabbos is over, obviously it's too late. So, Ad Motzei Shabbos, Mishalo Hivdil B'Motzei Shabbos, Mavdo V'Holech, Kol HaShabbos Kulo. And if you forgot Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, so you have the whole week to make it up. Now let's remind each other, what does the whole week mean? So the whole week doesn't mean the entirety of the week. Let's go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. The whole week means that you have until Tuesday. All right, Wednesday, I'm sorry. Right, you have till Tuesday evening. You have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. right? Half of the week, which is ascribed, which is assigned to the previous Shabbos, right? That's what we learned in yesterday's daf. That Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are attributable to the past Shabbos, whereas opposed to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are shaykh for the upcoming Shabbos. What nafkaminas are there? So right now, here's one nafkamina. That is that you can make up Abdullah until Tuesday evening. Another nafkamina we talked about in yesterday's daf, technical nafkamina as it relates to a get, where a person says, I'm going to give you a get, but the get is only going to be chal if I give you money by the end of the Shabbos. And the end of the Shabbos, obviously you're not transferring money on Shabbos, but by the end of the Shabbos means you'll have till Tuesday to give the money in order to be Mekayim the Tanai. Okay, that's another nafkamina. Anyway, so the Gemara now has paskan the halacha regarding, first of all, the halachas of Tam Kaddish Tam Avdil. So the Gemara says on both of them, you have not forfeited your opportunity. And on the halacha of making up Kiddush and making up Havdalah. So for Kiddush, you have the entirety of Shabbos to make it up if you forget it on Friday night. And for Havdalah, you have until Tuesday evening. The Gemara continues on this discussion. Amemar Pasach La Lahashmaita De Rava Behai Lishna. Now, a Mamer says over Rava, the halachas that we just learned over by Rava, but he says it over a little bit differently. Let's listen carefully to capture the differences. Amar Rava Hilchasa Tam Mekash Tam Avdil. Okay, so far identical to what we said previously. Mishlo Kiddush Be'er Shabbos Mekash V'Holech Chola Yom Kulo. Okay, it's the language is a little bit different, but it sounds the same, right? That if you forget Kiddush on Friday night, you have the remainder of the day. But the day, of course, means Shabbos. Sounds the same. And Mishlo Hivdo B'motzei Shabbos Mavdo V'Holech Kol Hayom Kulo. Here we get to a significant difference. If you forget Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, according to this version of Rava, a Meimar's version of Rava, so what you can do is that you can make up Havdalah, but only Kol Hayom Kulo. Okay, now that is different than what than the original way we said it. Originally we said, look four lines down from the top of the Amud. Originally we said Kol HaShabbos Kulo. Now we're saying Kol Hayom Kulo, which means that according to this version, you only have till Sunday night, Sunday evening. You're only given one day to make up Havdalah in this version. Amri Leimar Yenuka Mar Kishisha Bered Rav Chisla Rav Ashi Zimna Chada Ikla Amemar. This already starts a new topic. Okay, so let me just put a pause over there in the Gemara. Okay, so we have Rava telling us what the halach is. We have two versions of Rava. The only noticeable difference between this first and second version is regarding the makeup regarding Havdalah. Okay, but the halacha is that you do have till Tuesday evening. The halacha subscribes to the first version, not the second version. Good. Adkan. We are now continuing in the Gemara. Amrele. So Amrele Mar Yenuka Mar Kishisha Bereder of Chisda LeRav Ashi. So you had two sons of Rav Chisda. You had Mar Yenuka Mar Kishisha. The easiest way to say it is that Mar Yenuka is the younger child and Mar Kishisha is the older child. Admittedly, the Rishonim are not all in agreement in that, but anyway, let's just right now leave it off as the two cents of Rav Chisda. So they said to Rav Ashi, Zimnachad Ikle Amemar La'asrein. So there was an occasion where Amemar came to our location, V'lo Havalan Chamra, and we didn't have wine. So Aisele Shichra, so we gave him beer. Okay, remember, back in the good old days, beer meant date beer. V'lo Avdil, and he refused to make Havdalah over beer. He felt that beer was not is not eligible for Havdalah. Ubas Tavas. And he went to bed hungry that evening, right? It's based on a pasuk in Daniel, says the Rashbam. Anyway, he went to bed hungry that evening. In other words, he did not have the wine to make Havdalah over, and he felt that beer was not eligible. Lamarchar tachin v'aisele chamra v'avdil v'tamidi. Okay, and so the next day, so with effort, they got him wine. He made Havdalah on the wine. He ate. Okay, Shalom al Yisrael. That's chapter one of the story. Now we're up to chapter two. Lishana. Next year, Su Ikle La'asrein. So Amemar came again to visit. Okay, apparently he had a scholar residence gig, and he came once a year. And so the next year he came as well. La'havalan chamra, Isina Shechra. So they didn't have wine, and they brought beer. Okay, now that obviously is strange, because all they need to do is just remember 1 year ago. Remember the story? I'm sure people were talking about it the whole year. Amemar was given beer. He refused to make Havdalah over beer. Okay, so what are they doing offering him beer again? It's really not clear, but anyway, that's what they did. They offered him beer again. Amri hachi, chamar medina hi avdo v'tamidi. But over here, oddly enough, Amemar changed his tune. He said, oh, beer. Beer over here must be very significant. I notice they keep serving me beer. It constitutes, it qualifies as chamar medina. Oh, since it qualifies as chamar medina, so therefore it's significant, and therefore I'm going to make Havdalah over it. And therefore he was towing. He drank from now what he understood to be a significant drink. Shmami na tlas, the Gemara says, okay, three takeaway points from the story. Number one, Shmami na hamavda b'tfilat sarach shiavdil ala kos. So I know we said this already yesterday, but good, chazara. So one of the halachas that we learned yesterday that we get to review today is that havdalah comes in two forms on Motzei Shabbos. It comes in davening and atachon and tanun, and it comes again on havdalah ala kos. So again, the argument is, it's the same argument that we made yesterday. We're assuming that a Meimer went to shul, we're assuming that a Meimer davened ma'ariv, and we're assuming that he inserted atachon and tanun into his havdalah, and still insistent over the fact that havdalah has to be made ala kos. That is one takeaway point. Shema mina, second takeaway point. You're not allowed to eat before Avdallah. There's an isser to consume or to imbibe anything before Avdallah. Remember, we had this discussion yesterday as well. We did have a discussion regarding water, whether or not water would be something that you're allowed to drink. Truth be told, by the way, it was 2 days ago. It was Kufhei, the discussion of the isser of eating or drinking after, I should say, before Avdallah. Good, so, but anyway, it's clear, however, that a Meimer would not have anything. Bas Tavas means that he went to bed hungry. So he mom shouldn't eat anything before Havdalah. So that's the second takeaway point. And third takeaway point, Shmamina, Mishlohid Mamotzi Shabbos, Mavdavala Kola Shabbos Kulam. That if you do not make Havdalah, so on Motzei Shabbos, so you have the remainder of the week to make Havdalah. Now again, two things. Number one, remainder of the week means till Tuesday. It doesn't mean the whole week. The way we describe week. Week over here means the halachic week coming to an end, which is Tuesday evening. Also, from the story, it's hard to conclude, meaning we look at the details in the story. So he didn't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. And then when the story, as it's reported to us, is that the very next day they got him wine. So yes, it's true that he had a makeup for Havdalah, but the makeup for Havdalah was the very next day. The Gemara's third conclusion over here is curious because, we only know from the story that he made up Havdalah on Sunday. How do I know that I can make up Havdalah on Monday and Tuesday? So it's a bit of a curiosity that the Gemara says, you could see it from the story, but we're looking at the story, and you can't really see it from the story. Okay. Chamar Medina, obviously a big discussion. It's a popular term. Sure, you've heard it before. Chamar Medina is acceptable to be used for Havdalah. Okay, what is Chamar Medina? So the beer that's described in the Gemara over here is Chamar Medina. Really interesting definition given by the Rashbam. Chamar Medina, you can find the Rashbam about 8 lines after the Rashbam begins. Dibra Maschal Chamar Medina, the Rashbam writes, Ein Yayin Acher Beir Hazos, Ki Im Shechar. So there's no wine in town, but all you have is beer. Hilkach Mavdilim Bo, V'chein Alacha. Therefore, since it's a significant drink, it's substantial, and over here, according to the Rashbam's definition, substantial by virtue of the fact that there is no wine in town. So that's why you can make Havdalah on it, V'chein Halacha. And the Rashbam over here says, and by the way, that's the accepted halacha. Ava mayim lo ikre chamar medina, but you can't call water chamar medina. Ve'im avdil ha-mayim afil ha-hechad alayka shech ha-viyayin. And water can never ascend to the status of chamar medina. Water is such that it just simply does not have the requisite significance where it's going to ever obtain that status. This idea of the Rashbam, a couple of interesting points come out from the Rashbam. Number one, if there's no wine in town, so what do they do for Kiddush? So I'm asking the question. I don't have an answer, but that part's strange. And it's really, really hard to suggest. We'll talk a little bit more about this later. It's hard to suggest that you can make Kiddush on Chamar Medina. And if that's true, so then what did they do for Kiddush? The Takan of Kiddush is to say it over wine. A suggestion I could make is that he made Kiddush over bread. You remember in yesterday's daf, we talked about how Rav on occasion made Kiddush over bread. So you could do that. Perhaps that's a solution to the problem, but that is certainly strange. And also, the Rashbam's definition of Chamar Medina is unbelievably limited. It comes down now that Chamar Medina only has the status of Chamar Medina if Mamash has no wine in town. So that's a really limiting definition of Chamar Medina. Okay, there is obviously much discussion regarding contemporary poskim, regarding what constitutes Chamar Medina. Does our beer constitute Chamar Medina? Orange juice, soda, et cetera, et cetera. So you ask your local Orthodox rabbi, what exactly constitutes Chamar Medina? Nowadays, Rav Moshe has a tshuva regarding it. Okay, it obviously becomes a really contemporary discussion in terms of what qualifies. Okay, we're going to go on in the Gemara. All I have to do is just find my place and we're good. Here we go. Bamine Ravuna mi Rav Chista. Okay, we're halfway down on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara now continues. Can you make kiddush on beer? So Amar Hashta Uma Pir Zuma Uteine Vaasne Dabai Mine Mirav Virav Mi Rabbi Chia Virabi Chia Me Rebbe Vulo Pasha Le Shekhra Mi Baye. So he says, well, I don't really even see that as being a question. Do you know that these various other forms of beers, right, and apparently they're of a better quality, right? He lists three different types of beers, Parzuma and Te'ene and Asne, right? Other types of drafts coming from other types of fruits. Anyway, so they asked the question from Rav. Rav didn't know the answer. He then shuttled the question over to Rabbi Chia. He didn't know the answer. Rabbi Chia asked Rabbi, and Rabbi wasn't poshe. Now, he didn't answer, which presumably means he said no. Or he didn't say yes. But otherwise, the point is that for these higher quality beers, he wouldn't say yes. So what do you think he would say regarding Shichra, which is date beer, which apparently is of a lesser quality? So suffering mina kiddush udala mekachin and ilave aval avdule mivdalinan. Okay, so Shechar is no good for kiddush. What about Avdallah? So the thought was is that it's okay for Avdallah. Amalu Rav Chista hachi amar Rav kishem shem mekachin alav kach ein mavdilin alav. He says, I'll tell you what Rav says. You don't make kiddush on beer, you don't make Avdallah on beer. And the Gemara quotes the same thing b'shem Shmuel, that you don't make kiddush nor havdalah on beer. Levi shadolei le Rebbe Shichra Bartleisar Magne. So Levi sent to Rebbe beer Bartleisar Magne. It's a certain type of quality. Water was run over the dates 13 separate times. That's how the Rashbam explains it. Anyway, it's a high quality beer. So Tame have a basim tuve. So he tasted it. It was delicious. And Amr could go and say, Rala Kaddish Alav. Valorma Alav Koshiris Vesishbacho Shabaolam. And he says something like this. You can make Kiddush on it. And you could say Shiris Vesishbacho. So all different types of praises over this kind of beer. So Balela Tsare. Now that's a lot of dates that he just imbibed. So that evening, it's personal information, but the Gemara provides it. And that is that he had diarrhea that evening. So Amar Mesram Mephayes, he says, I'm getting such yisurim. It's torturing me. And this is now going to serve as pious. This is a way of appeasing and assuaging a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, basically we have now the behind the scenes story of why it is that Rebbe did not like the idea of using beer. Right? At the time that you drink, it's fine, but the effects that come afterwards, it's not worth it. Amar Rav Yosef, Adur Barabim Delo Yishe Shichrei. Rav Yosef says that he made a neder barabim. Neder barabim, says the Rashbam, a public neder, one which you cannot ask a chacham to release you from. And he swore that he's not going to drink any more beer. So Am Rav Ishtei Mei Zarvayan, Velo Ishtei Shechra. So Rav says to him, the Mei Zarvayan, it's Rash, the Rashbam describes it as flax water. So the what you drank was flax water, not beer. The Amar Rava Tehave Sakyasa Shichra. So the and to that Rava said a poor person would be unable to purchase the a poor person is unable to purchase a wine. Meaning the way the Rashbam explains it's Mida Kenegan Mida. Meaning that if a person does not endeavor to try to do, to try to get wine for Kiddush and Avdallah, so then he'll become a poor person. So, Manda Bekadosh HaShichra. Anyone who makes Kiddush over beer, so it's a skula it will cause the person to become impoverished if the person does not endeavor to try to purchase wine in order to make Kiddush over. Rav Ashkechei Ravuna Dekash Ashechra. Rav found Ravuna making kiddush on beer. So Amalei Shari Abba Lemikne Istari Meshechra. So apparently you're profiting. In other words, this is a way that you're making a living. You basically make a business over beer, and that's why you think it's so chashuv. But meanwhile, he was chastising him, meaning it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to make kiddush over beer. Okay, Adkan, we have a little bit more to go on this topic, but clearly the Amoraim are going back and forth in terms of whether or not beer would be an acceptable alternative for Havdalah, would be an acceptable alternative for Kiddush. Certainly the sense that you get from the Gemara is that that there is more room to maneuver regarding Havdalah than there is regarding Kiddush. Although we do see that there were practices of some Amoraim who made made Kiddush over beer, but the Gemara certainly seems to be really opposed to the idea in principle. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Ein mekashin ella al hayayin, vein mevarchin ella al hayayin. Kiddush is only over wine, and brachas are only over wine. That last statement of the brisa obviously is really difficult. The Gemara immediately picks up on it. Atu ashechra v'amaya milo mevarchin an laisha kol niyeh bedvaro. You only make a bracha on wine? What are you talking about? You make a bracha on anything we drink. You for water, you make shahakol. For beer, you make a shahakol. Right? There is a Tosfos back in the sixth parak of Brachos that discusses making a shahakol on beer is a bit of a curiosity. Tosfos over there says because beer really is a product of grain. Now, again, back then, their beers were dates. But Tosfos was dealing with the beer that was prevalent in his day, as it is ours, and that is our beer is really a product of grains, of barley, some wheat. And so we know that when wheat or barley are making up, are constituting part of the ingredients, so then the bracha should be a mezonos. And meanwhile, Tosfos over there is bothered by the fact that we all say shahakol over beer. Tosfos gives various answers in terms of why it is that you make a shahakol over beer. Anyway, you do make a shahakol over beer. But interesting. The Gemara over here says it, but again, our Gemara over here is probably talking about date beer, so probably not relevant. Anyway, let's continue. I'm Rabbi Hachi Kamar. So we need a pshan the brisa, because the brisa says that I'm only making a bracha over wine and no other drink, and that's not true. So the Gemara says no. Here's how to read the brisa. Here's how to understand the brisa. Ein omrim have a kosho bracha levarich el al hayayin. No, the brisa says that when you're instructing others to bring a drink for you, so the instruction should be over wine, meaning instruct somebody to bring wine so that you can make kiddush over wine. That's how you read the brisa. That's what the brisa meant. Tanur Rabbanan. Next brisa. Ein mikachin al shechem mishum Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon amru mikachin mitiim asyain kol shehu. So over here in the brisa, so you can't make kiddush over beer. They said over the name of Rabbi Elazar. So mekachim mitiim asyain kol shehu, even the smallest taste of the wine. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amer melo lugma, and according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you must be drinking a cheekful of the wine. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Chen Tani, Rav Gidol, Demin Narash, Hamikash Vitam, melo lugma yatsa v'imlav lo yatsa. In order to be yotze with kiddush, so you must have a cup of wine, a revius of wine, and the amount that you must drink is going to be a melo lugma, a cheekful. And if you drink a cheekful, you're yotze. If you don't, you're not going to be yotze. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ana Tanina La Lo Gidol Bar Menashe V'Lo Gidol Bar Minyuma Ela Gidol Stama. Okay, now you quoted it in the name of Gidol de Min Narash. He says, no, I just learned it as Gidol. Okay, just being super specific in terms of giving proper attribution. Lamai Nafkamina, what difference does it make? Lemir Mi Didei Adidei. In the event that, now that we know that Rav Gidol said something that may go against what he's saying over here, so we know we have to know this in order to try to be miyashiv and try to resolving a question if it comes up from the position of Gidol onto the position of Gidol. Adkan takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding Kiddush and Havdalah. Just a moment, we're going to go back to our Mishnah that started off our parak, and we're going to go back to discussing the Arvei Pesachim. I just want one more point before we... two more points before we go on. Number one, second to last tosas on the Amud. So the Gemara's conclusion over here, which is the halacha, is that in order to be yotze with kiddush, so you have to have a revius of wine, and you have to drink a melo lugmav. So tam melo lugmav yatsa, ked mefarsh biyuma, kosha eno, kishil mesakul tzad echad, yirik melo lugmav. So, first of all, definition of melo lugmav, a cheekful. So tosas says one cheek. Vav epochos me revius. Now it's going to be less than a revius. Kedamrin and hasam. As per the Gemara in Yuma. Right, makes sense that's less than a revius, meaning if your cup in total has a revius, then you only have to drink a melo lugmav of it. So obviously it makes sense that it's going to be less than a revius. Ava melo lugmav amrinan hasam davi yosem revius v'nirishu rov revius da amrinan lakaman. So Tosus says that most probably it's the majority of a revius. V'hu deshasa ruba dekasa v'davka la'adam beinoni. But then Tosfos over here says something fascinating and controversial. And that is that this Malo Logmav, is it an objective shear or is it subjective? Well, where the Malo Logmav is a volume measured by cheekful. So maybe it's going to be relevant to the cheek that's imbibing. And Tosfos says that's correct. Tosfos asserts over here that the cheekful shear that you have to drink is going to be only for an Adam Beinoni. But for somebody very large, the Gemara uses, and Tosfos uses, just to describe a large individual, Og. Right, the as just somebody very large. So the Alog Melchabashan by Tvei Kidamrin and Hasam. So he's going to need more. Now a bit of an oddity, by the way, because I'm just thinking out loud, meaning that you can have somebody so large that his cheekful is going to be more than a revius. Does that mean that for him the starting point has to be greater than a revius in terms of how much wine he needs to start with? Maybe, possibly. I don't know, but. But certainly Tosfos over here asserts that a Malo Lugmav is a subjective shear depending on the person that's drinking it, and it's going to be it's going to be relative to the size of that person's cheek. Okay, so that's a interesting position over here by Tosfos. Okay, now, before we start with the next sugya, which is going to be the last part of today's daf, so it affords us an opportunity to just answer a simple question. We are going to go back to the Mishnah. We're going to describe Arvi Psachim Samach Lemincha. And now what we're going to do is that we're going to define the fourth word of the Mishnah. It's not bad. Seven blot into the sugya, and we're up to the fourth word of the Mishnah. Although, it's not fair because we just took a seven-day hiatus for discussing Kiddush and Avdalah. However, Samach Lemincha means the time that you daven Mincha, what you and I call Mincha. Simple question that's dealt with Tosfos right here on our daf, and that is Mincha is called Mincha. Why is it called Mincha? Right. If you wanna be a little bit more technical, what should we call the afternoon tefillah? So call it erev, call it bein harbayim. Just like shachris is where you bring the tamid shel shachar, and then that's a morning carbon. What's the carbon in the afternoon? That's the tamid shel bein harbayim. So why don't we call, instead of calling it mincha, why do we call bein harbayim? And what does mincha even mean? It means a gift. What does that have to do with davening? So Tosfos over here, Tosfos in Psachim, Daf Kuf Zayin, tucked away. Over here deals with this most basic question. Teima, am I karele mincha? Well, why are we calling the afternoon tefillah mincha? De'imishum de mincha isa kreva bein arbayim. Halogam b'shachar kreva minchas chavitim minchas tamid. So why? Because there's a mincha offered with the tamid shel bein arbayim. Tosfos says, I'll tell you what, there's a mincha that's offered, the minchas chavitim. There's a mincha that comes together with the tamid shel shachar as well. So it's a good question. The Yeshlamer b'Shachar Yesh Shem Acher Tefillas Shacharis va'od Darminan b'Perakam de Brachos Havizar b'Tefillas Mincha Sha'af Eliyahu Lo Nena Ela b'Tefillas Mincha v'Shema b'Shas Akravis Mincha Nena. Okay, so maybe Tosfos suggests over here that the reason why we describe it as why we describe Mincha as Mincha is maybe because it's episodic, meaning maybe it's relevant to the story with Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, where he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to answer him, and it happened to have been that was the Tamid shel Bein Arbayim. And so, and it came together with the mincha that he offered, specifically during the Tefillah shel Bein Arbayim. So Tosfos over here makes a suggestion that the reason why we call it mincha is because of the episode of Eliyahu HaNavi. L'kachka relate Tefillah mincha, sha'az ha'yashas ratzon. And maybe that was an ace ratzon. At that particular point in time, while he was offering the mincha of the Tamid shel Bein Arbayim, and that's why we describe it as mincha. Okay, that's one suggestion. There are other suggestions to this question as well. You could see right on the side of the Gemara, you could see the Avu Draham as quoted over here on the side of the Gemara. Give another explanation. Okay, anyway, there are numerous answers to that question. Let's continue in the Gemara. Samach l'mincha. Okay, so we have to stop eating on Erev Pesach. Okay, as we are approaching the month of Nisan, and we're not that far away from Pesach, we're Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, so now we get to discuss the halacha. The halacha is you got to stop eating on Erev Pesach. So when? Samach l'mincha. So we already gave an explanation of the Mishnah, and we said that mincha is a reference to mincha ketana, but we don't know that yet from the Gemara standpoint, meaning the Gemara right now just reads the word mincha. Which mincha is it referring to? That's exactly the Gemara's question. Ibailu. Samach l'mincha gedola tanan, or demo samach l'mincha ketana tanan. Samach l'mincha gedola tanan, mishum pesach. Demo asil l'mimshach. So there are two possibilities with two different explanations. Number one, it could be that Mincha over here is a reference to Mincha Gedola, right? 12:30 in the afternoon, right? I'm going to give modern times. It makes it so much easier for us to just relate to it, right? Rather than saying 6.5 hours into the day. So I'm operating obviously with a perfect day where the sun rises at 6 and it sets at 6. And now the Shabbos Manios are going to be 1 hour each. So it's 12:30 in the afternoon. That's Mincha Gedola, the first opportunity to say Mincha. So why do you have to stop eating by Mincha Gedola? Because we now know that once you're in the afternoon, so when it's 12:30 in the afternoon, so now, Karban Pesach. We got to offer the Karban Pesach. Now, yes, it's true. Obviously, you have to offer the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim before the Karban Pesach, but still, meaning it's at this point in time, all of our attention and all of our focus has to be on bringing the Karban Pesach. And so maybe the reason why you have to stop eating is because of Karban Pesach, right? I myself have just a small question, a small curiosity. If this is correct, which parenthetically, it's not going to be correct. It's not going to be the accepted approach. But if this is correct, so after you bring your Karban Pesach, can you then eat? Meaning that the whole reason why you have to stop eating my Mincha Gedola is so that you can bring Karban Pesach. So presumably that means that once the Karban Pesach is brought, so now you're allowed to eat. Maybe, I'm just throwing it out there as a thought question. Anyway, but that's one possibility. I'm sorry, I didn't finish reading the sentence. Let's turn the page. Domasi lemimshach va'asi leimnuye melaavid pischa. So that's one possibility, is that you stop eating by Mincha Gedola so that all of our attention is going to be able to focus on the offering of the Karban Pesach. Maybe the Mincha over here is a reference to Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana starts at 3:30 in the afternoon. Samach Lemincha means that 3 o'clock already you got to stop eating. And the reason why, so that you have an appetite for matzah. Because if we start eating from 3 o'clock onwards, so it's going to ruin our appetite. And by the time we're eating the matzah, we're already stuffed and we have no interest in eating the matzah. And it's achila gasa. And achila gasa is not achila. It's not going to be considered eating. And you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So maybe that's the issue. Okay. So, and the Gemara in a moment is about to respond to this question. Okay, I made this observation already when we started the parak, but now, not only do I get to make this observation again, but better, I'm backed by the Rashbam, which is phenomenal. This idea that in Mincha Ketana you have to stop eating so that you develop an appetite for matzah. What about Karban Pesach? Now, nowadays, of course, we don't have Karban Pesach. But why, in the explanation of the Mishnah presumably was addressing not only the post-Chorban, but the Mishnah is also addressing pre-Chorban as well. Which means that there was a Karban Pesach feed as well. Why is the Gemara obsessed with this idea that you're going to lose your appetite for matzah? Why not say that you're going to lose your appetite for the Karban Pesach as well? So the Rashbam right here, the first Rashbam on the Amud Beis, is bothered by that very question. Unihi nami. So drop down in the Rashbam from the first Rashbam. Drop down about 7 lines. Unihi nami de mishum Pesach ik lamecha shlachila gasa. The afagav duunecha ala sova achila gasamia ena achila uvekatcha maziku dechashvin la beyavamos elamishum delagabe lechem havi achila gasa baachila muetas nakamata. So one suggestion of the Rashbam is that for meat it's just easier to eat meat even on a full stomach. It's easier to eat meat, but when you're talking about the carbs are just they're harder. Meaning when you're full, you want to have another piece of bread. If you're stuffed, you really don't want to have another piece of bread. But if you're stuffed and somebody offers you, sorry, just a small piece of meat or a big piece of meat, okay, there's more room for that. So carbs versus protein. That's the first answer of the Rashbam. Inami, or alternatively, the Rashbam points out over here, Rabusa kamar v'achi kamar, o demo samach lemen chaketan v'afilu bezman, deleka pesach, deleka lemechash la'asi yasa, v'lo la'achila so, mishum achilas matzah mi ha'ika, dolo la'have achila gasa chayshinan. The second suggestion of the Rashbam is that maybe what the Mishnah is telling us is that maybe the Mishnah is addressing a post-Chorban world where there is no Karban Pesach. And still, Achila Gasa becomes an issue. Why? Because we have to eat matzah. There's still a mitzvah to eat matzah. So anyway, what we have in front of us on the table is the following question. The Mishnah says you have to stop eating from Mincha. Are we talking about Mincha Gedola 12:30? Are we talking about Mincha Ketana, which is 3:30, but again, back it up at half an hour because Samach Lemincha. So really 3 o'clock. So which one is correct? When do you have to stop eating on Erev Pesach? Amar Avina Tashma. So Ravina says, okay, let's learn together from the following braisa. Afilo Agrippas HaMelech Shehu Ragel Echo B'tisha Shaus. So Agrippas HaMelech. Now, the identity of Agrippas HaMelech, so that is a bit of a discussion. The Rashi over here says, Melech Kasher Haya Mimalchei Chashmonai. Okay, so he was a descendant of the Chashmonaim. On the side, there's another girsa, is that he was a descendant of Hordus. Okay, but anyway, the Rashi describes him as being a Melech Kasher. Okay, good king, right? Generally speaking, a conformist to halacha. And the, and normally his first meal begins at Teisha Shaus. He normally would start a meal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, how we get there, meaning that's really late in the day to have your first meal, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tosus over here makes a suggestion. I'm not going to go through it inside, but the, Tosus Divra Maskal Shaya Ragal Echo B'Teisha Shaus. He makes a suggestion of why his first meal starts at 2 in the afternoon, but right now, it's good for us to know that he starts his meal normally at 2 in the afternoon. So, what we're going to tell Agrippa the Melech, I don't know who's going to tell the king this, but what you're going to tell Agrippa the Melech is that an Erev Pesach, I know your first meal normally starts at 2 o'clock, but hey, you know what? Not today. You're not eating today because you need an appetite for the Karban Pesach and for the matzah tonight. So, look, if normally the stop point of eating is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so now we're saying a chiddush, meaning normally everyone's got to stop at 3, and you, Agrippas, even though your meal started beheter at 2 o'clock, you got to stop. And the Rashbam over here says why? Why does he have to stop? Meaning if you started beheter, isn't that okay for everybody? So the Rashbam writes over here, the Rashbam, you can find Dibra Maskal, Rabuse de Agrippas, I won't read inside, but the Rashbam basically writes that, yeah, but Agrippas knows that his meal is going to go into the evening. Meaning he's a king, this is a royal banquet, by definition, and you know that you start a meal at 2, you know it's going to go well into the afternoon, evening, and you know it's going to happen. So the instructions to Agrippas is, and probably that's why the Rashbam writes earlier that he was a Melech Kasher, because he's going to follow instructions. So that's why the instructions is that you can start at 2 o'clock. But if you're saying that everyone has to stop at 12, so my Rabuse de Agrippas, Chal Iser Alei Mikara. So then what's the big deal with Agrippas? Agrippas, you can't eat at 2. I got news for you. Nobody can eat at 2 because if Mincha of the Mishnah meant Mincha Gedola, so nobody's allowed to eat at 2. Nobody's allowed to eat at 1. You got to stop eating at noon. So Ela Samach LeMincha Ketana Tanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so Mincha Ketana. Okay, so we've concluded. Again, I know we said that as Pshat in the Mishnah, but here's the Gemara now arriving at that conclusion. Right? We only know it because the Gemara here arrived at that conclusion. So my Rabuse da Agrippas ha Machaleis Manisura. So the Gemara says, okay, but what exactly is the Chiddush by Agrippas? So Mao Detema Teshu Shalos Agrippas Karba Shalos Di Da Dame Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, it suggests a Hava. I mean, look, Agrippas HaMelech, this is his first meal of the day. Now, you and I normally have our first meal of the day 4 hours into the day. I understand you and I have something called breakfast. Okay, and I have something called the coffee right now. But back with Zman HaMishnah and the Gemara, so their first meal of the day was 4 hours into the day. So I might have made an argument that for Agrippas, 9 hours into the day is equivalent to 4 hours because that's his first meal. And therefore, allowance should be given to Agrippas to go ahead and start that meal. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush says, no, you can't start that meal. Okay. Amar Rebbe, we have in our Gemara Yossi, it probably should be Asi. Amar Rebbe Asi, Ava Matbel Hu Bemine Targime. You can't have a meal from 3 o'clock after and onward, but you can have snacks. Mine Targime snacks, it's not a wonderful definition. The Rashbam over here is his definition, Mine Targime, Peros U Basar Belo Lechem. Fruit and meat, not bread. So fine, so that is the snacking food according to the Rashbam. Rav Yitzchak Matbel B'Yarke. Rav Yitzchak would have vegetables. Tanya Nami Achi. Hashamish Matbel B'Bnei Me'ayim V'Nosnem Lifnei Ha'Orchin. So what the Shamish would do is intestines. He would serve, okay, for those of you who are, who know a little bit about Argentine culture. So Chichulin. Okay, the, whatever. Anyway, it's a, intestines. So kishka, as a but not the modern kishka. So anyway, so he would serve intestines to people, and on the afternoon of Pesach, and obviously not of the Karban Pesach. Ve'alfa b'shem raya l'dav v'zech l'dav v'shenamer nir l'chem nir ve'al tizru'u el hakotzim. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, describes how what you want to do is you want to plow and don't put the seeds on top of the thorns. So in other words, you want to make the ground fertile so that when you put the seeds down, it's going to grow. So over here, the eating of vegetables, the eating of meats on Erev Pesach after 3 o'clock, it's a good thing because basically what it does is it gets you ready, gets your appetite going, it gets you hungry. And that's obviously a good thing. We'll stop over here. Rav Avashase is where we're going to begin tomorrow morning. Yirtz Hashem. Let's quickly recap and review our daf today. Kuf Zion. So we started off today. We started back in Kuf Av Amud Beis with the halachas of Mavdo Mekadesh or Mavdo Eino Mekadesh. Sorry. Tam Mekadesh, Tam Eino Mekadesh. The question of whether or not you started eating prior to Kiddush. You forgot about Kiddush. Hard to imagine, but you did. You forgot about Kiddush and you started eating before Kiddush. So are you going to be banned and barred from making Kiddush the remainder of that Friday evening? So it's a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. And the same machlokas we have regarding Havdalah. If you forgot Havdalah, you started eating before Havdalah, you're going to be banned and barred from making Havdalah the remainder of that Motzei Shabbos. And the next opportunity you're going to be given is going to be Sunday morning. So the Gemara deliberates. The Gemara has various opinions on this issue. Conclusion of the Gemara is that Tam Mekadesh Tam Mavdil. Despite the fact that you did wrong, nevertheless, you are not going to be banned from making Kiddush or making Havdalah that Friday night, that Motzei Shabbos respectively. Good. And in terms of makeup, the Gemara also paskens halacha regarding the makeup. You forgot Kiddush on Friday night. You have the remainder of Shabbos to make Kiddush. Alright, if a person's sick on Friday night, he wasn't able to be at the Shabbos table. So Shabbos morning when he wakes up and he feels better. So mamish halach is, he's gotta make Kiddush. He's gotta make, meaning the real Kiddush, that he missed on Friday night. And in terms of making up Havdalah, so, despite the fact that we had one version that you can make up Havdalah on a, only till Sunday, but the halach is you can make up Havdalah all the way up until Tuesday evening. The Gemara's next discussion on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph dealt with Chamar Medina. Chamar Medina to be used for Havdalah. So the Gemara tells us the halacha via story, but the story is basically Amemar discovered that beer was Chamar Medina. Once he discovered that beer is Chamar Medina, he made Havdalah over Chamar Medina. And then what ensues is a lengthy discussion on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph as to whether or not Chamar Medina, specifically beer, can be used for Havdalah, can be used for Kiddush, and for Havdalah. There is a reluctancy upon the Gemara to use Chamar Medina for Havdalah, but certainly there were positions that you could, but for Chamar Medina to be used for Kiddush, so the Gemara was very opposed to that. There were some Amoraim that used beer for Kiddush, but the reaction of the other Amoraim is that this is not something that should be done. Okay, and that takes us to the end of the Amud Aleph. And then in terms of the Amud Beis, in terms of review, it's really straightforward. The first definition of the Mishnah, when it talks about not eating after Samach L'Mincha, once you're a half an hour away from Mincha, you're not allowed to eat, is that reference to Mincha Gedolah or Mincha Ketana? Mincha Gedolah is 12:30, Mincha Ketana is at 3:30. So which Mincha are we talking about? The conclusion of the Gemara is very clear. Mincha Ketana, you have to stop eating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a half an hour before Mincha Ketana. In terms of what you're allowed to do after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're allowed to snack. And in fact, not only are you allowed to, it's in fact encouraged. Snacking on vegetables and meats are going to basically get your appetite going. So a little bit of snacking is encouraged on non bread items. Now I say non bread. Bread is also, more than half the day of Erev Pesach. Matzah is also because you're not allowed to eat matzah. On Erev Pesach, that was already, we did that already in Tosfos in the beginning of the Perek. So what exactly is the Gemara talking about in terms of what you're not allowed to eat? So hopefully you remember, that's Tosfos' question that he asked in the very beginning of the Masechta. Right? What are we talking about? And Tosfos says that presumably what we're talking about is matzah shira. Okay, go back to the, that was the second Tosfos of our Perek. Adkan.